Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. We have a budget, as I had predicted. I had predicted this. We have a basically a signature on the debt ceiling increase. That is not surprising, because at this point, we have a uniparty. I don't expect much objection from the Republicans. Now, you might have heard that the Republicans are in fury against Kevin McCarthy, but that is the most extreme Republicans. I'm sure there will be a bunch of centrists who will vote on the side of Kevin McCarthy, a bunch of centrists in the Republican Party. That was my initial prediction, and I still stand by it. But the deal has advanced in the sense that Kevin McCarthy has reached a deal with Joe Biden. So we're talking about massive increase of the debt ceiling for 2 years. So it gives a carte blanche for the White House under the Democrats. This would extend the debt ceiling increase to after the next election. So that means no punishment on the ballot if Joe Biden spends this money horribly, because you would only get back to a debate on the debt ceiling after the election. So that is abandoning any sort of leverage that the Republicans could have, and it's a ridiculous deal, therefore. And there's nothing in there for the Republican other than maintaining the state in its constant state of running over more and more money and expanding the money supply. Stephen Robinson says, money printer go brrr, $31 trillion incoming. Yeah, and there was an immediate result on Bitcoin starting yesterday, and Bitcoin is still in bullish mode. We are now at 28K, and who knows, this might go above even the maxes that we've seen for the last few months. Stephen Robinson says, crypto go boom. Yeah, I mean, at this point, given that Bitcoin exists, it's not that grave that there's infinite money printing, because we have the anti-Fed, we have the anti-government debt, and that's Bitcoin. So, I mean, let them ruin the system, let them convert the USD into a kind of transactional entity for people on social welfare. I've predicted many years ago that the USD will become a food stamp, basically a food stamp for within USA transaction. And I mean, as long as Bitcoin exists and that you have Bitcoin, you don't really care about these moves of the government, because Bitcoin will counter any of this expansion through a rise in price. It's inevitable in the end. Breaking Bread says, no electric, no access to Bit. You mean that's a reason we shouldn't trust Bitcoin? That they can stop Bitcoin by stopping the electricity? I'm not super afraid about these scenarios. It's like, if you have no electricity, if society reaches this point of crumbling, I think that anything you might have that is worth something will be worth nothing. Can you see yourself without electricity carrying lingots of gold around where criminality is rampant and there are pirates at every road ready to seize your gold? I mean, if you don't have electricity and if society has crumbled to that level, then value doesn't exist. Then it's a war for existence. Ali Mayer says, hard to conceptualize a trillion. I like the time analogy. 1 minute seconds, 1 million seconds is 12 days. 1 billion seconds is 33 years. 1 trillion seconds is 33,000 years. Wow, I didn't know these numbers. That is a stunning analogy. Shrigmamel says, at least my stocks, BTC, and gold will do well from all the money printing. Exactly. Exactly. And so if you have these things, if you're already prepared for this, we knew that this is where it was headed, which is why, you know, all of this being covered even as news is questionable to some extent. because I mean, I told you guys months ago, this is what's going to happen. The next debt ceiling debate, the Republicans are barely going to fight it at all. They're going to go straight to, all right, what do you guys want? And they're going to maintain the governmental machine as it stands, because that's because the Republican Party, without a strong leadership like Donald Trump, and even under a strong leadership like Donald Trump, they are basically subverted agents of the Uniparty, of the statist pro-governmental forces, and there's no, there's one or two of them that are kind of libertarian oriented, but that's it. And it's definitely not a majority. Lauren Boebert publicly announced that her 17-year-old son, Tyler, will be making her a 36-year-old grandmother in April.
I'm a mom of four boys. And I've said many times, Jason and I, we are raising our four boys to be men before liberals teach them to be women. But I leaned over and I asked my husband if it was appropriate to announce this here today. So I'm going to tell you all for the first time in a public setting that not only am I a mom of four boys, but come April, I will be a Gigi to a brand new grandson. And Jason and I are so excited to welcome this new life into our family. Now, any of you who have young children who are giving life, there are some questions that pop up. There's some fear that arises. Now, my son, when I approached him and told him, Tyler, I'm going to be a 36-year-old grandmother, he said, well, didn't you make granny a 36-year-old granny? I said, yes, I did. He said, well, then it's hereditary. Nice try, buddy.
Yeah, it may be hereditary. And I'm super happy about this. I think we should definitely regularize this. I think we are faced with a different class of people who will be able to afford this. The whole become pregnant at 17-year-old or become a father at 17-year-old. It is another way to win the evolutionary race, by the way. We tend to focus on how many children have I had? Is it above two? That is how you win the evolutionary race in terms of making more babies and being above 2.1. But there's another way to win the evolutionary race, which is make as many babies as you can, but make them faster. If you make them faster and you're somewhat above 2.1, what happens is that you outnumber, within a few generations, you will outnumber the groups that do it more slowly. So it's an exponential relationship, and therefore, if you're above 2.1, doing it twice as fast, that is, making your babies at 17 years old instead of, say, 34-year-old, double the age, that has a massive impact on the exponential function of your eventual descent in 3-4 generations down the line. Because imagine it's a number that you multiply. If you're at 2.2, it's 2.2 times 2.2 times 2.2 times 2.2 per generation. If you can do that twice as fast as another group, you will be totally outnumbering them. So I'm super happy about this, but I think that so in a family like Lauren Boebert, they probably can afford this. They can afford, I mean, this young boy at 17-year-old, he probably can have a house immediately. He probably doesn't much need to work, or if he works, it will be for his own pleasure and his own savings. So basically, if you are a rich family, you will have a total distinction in what your children can afford to engage in while other children are pursuing career and trying to make money somehow in a system that's biased against them. you can afford making you can afford going straight for reproduction. Lendald Guntram says, latest new records from FBI Vault reveal FBI is unable to find out who is behind QAnon. What a surprise, right? Well, QAnon, I mean, I've never had any trust for them. They've always been very ridiculous, very out there. You know, the predictions they were doing were not at the level of someone who truly has information, but it was at the level of someone trying to predict the news, a little bit like I would do here on my show. But it was giving themselves the tint of proximity to Trump and, oh, I have inside info. That was pretty ridiculous. The Black Siren is going bad. It is attracting a different crowd to the theaters. And there was a visioning for kids that was totally ruined, because there started being a fight within the theater.
My daughter, to go see The Little Mermaid in Orlando, and this happened.
So here, I believe that what we're seeing is perhaps a white man. I mean, it's very hard under the current lighting. But perhaps a white man, or perhaps a black man, a relatively fit black man, is being yelled at by a black woman with dreads who is yelling at him, "Bitch, why do you say this in front of my daughter? How can you say this in front of my daughter?" My suspicion is that the white man or black man was annoyed, perhaps, that there was too much speaking, too much noises during the performance. And may have said, "Hey, please, we'd like to watch the movie." And the black woman seems to have taken it wrongly and was pissed that this was said to her in front of her daughter. You're not entitled to be speaking and making noise in the theater, lady.
Oh, I need a refund on my ticket. No, you can't have my
We're getting a refund because
We need a refund.
Meanwhile, the beautiful graphical artwork of the little siren, the black little siren, is passing in the background unseen by these people. That's really too bad. They're missing a good show. How can you operate the corporations of Western civilization under such cost? Now, just because there was one crazy person in the theater, everyone wants to be refunded. Holy shit.
This is a kid's movie. Oh my God.
Well, it's a kid's movie, but, you know, it's a classical thing. We see it often, people telling other people in theaters to shut up or to diminish their noise, and it's understandable. You know, personally, if I would be worried if I make noise that are deranging to some people, I would like to stop them. I would be okay if they tell me, "Hey, JF, reduce your noise." Blanket says, "Jeff, you know what's surprising? That people actually went to see that movie." Well, I mean, you can see that. I don't know. I don't know how the economics of it works. How do you release a movie that seems to be targeted toward black people if they are truly 13% of the population? How does that work? Barnabé Buteau says, "They made you a movie so you can feel empowered after claiming victimhood for decades, yet you can't shut the fuck up when going to the theater to see the movie." That is a problem indeed. Bud Light offers $2.99 18 packs after sales tumble accelerates, Bud Light is offering a massive Memorial Day weekend discount, $2.99 for an 18-pack of Bud Light or Budweiser, bringing the price per can down to just pennies. This aggressive pricing strategy is an attempt by the brewer to stimulate demand as an ongoing boycott dents sales for the sixth consecutive week. Twitter handle Ramp Capital spotted the promotion on Saturday that reads, "Easy to enjoy Memorial Day weekend. Get up to $15 back via rebate on the purchase of one Budweiser, Bud Light, Budweiser Select, or Budweiser Selection. Before taxes plus the rebate, an 18-pack of beer costs around 17 cents per can." My God. That's a lower price than Diet Pepsi. It's a lower price than water if you put it, if you were to put it in cans. DK Shadow says, "I heard the movie didn't have enough kink, so a refund is in order." That is actually the actual title of a New York Times article. I didn't put it here, but New York Times said the little black siren lacks this and that and this and kink. And people were like, what? You want kinks in a kid's movie? Kinks, like sexual weird stuff. You want a you think this movie is lacking kink. Shrigma Mail says, "Jeff, why should I even vote for the Republicans at this point? I believe it was a waste of my time voting in 2020. Oh, I don't blame you, and I wouldn't tell you that voting is a big priority right now. I don't think you can have much impact. And yes, voting for the Republicans will lead to the Republicans who are corrupt and who are basically agents of the Uniparty to be gaining acknowledgement from you, to be gaining credibility from this system. So no, I totally agree with your thinking. Now, I would never come on this show and say to people, don't vote, because I think it's not any more productive to do that. But definitely, I wouldn't judge you if you choose not to vote. You know, sometimes I forgot to vote in Canada, and I didn't feel like anything grave had happened. And anyways, any party I would want to vote for was certainly not winning, and it's certainly not my vote that would have changed this. So yeah, I don't feel bad about it. It is a loss of 1 hour of your time, maybe, or whatever it is. So at some point, that 1 hour isn't worth it. Blanket says, "Jeff, why is Bud Light even still around? No regular person wants to be seen drinking it now." Well, there's always a bunch of leftists. And, you know, given that mental health and alcoholism can be very frequent in leftist population, I'm sure there are leftists out there who are totally willing to buy Bud Light still, and in fact will do so with more enthusiasm. They will want to get this little cashback rebate. But if you're a beer company, you cannot afford to lose the right-wing people, because a lot of people are secretly right-wing. A lot of families, you know, that kind of you know, the parties they organize before a football tailgate type of people with their pickup truck, those are the people you don't want to lose to a leftist ad. And they are important family-based people who are often secretly conservative or stupidly conservative, in the sense of they're just conservative by instinct. They wouldn't know, but if you say something like trans, LGBT, it pushes them off in a instinctual way. Spindly Opinion says, interesting that the leftists have not been picking up the sales slack for Bud Light. Maybe it's a much smaller market than thought. Well, it depends on how you look at it. There's a lot of people voting left. And then there's a smaller fraction that's truly going to, you know, actively, militantly support misgendering policies or that sort of stuff. And then there's an even smaller minority who's actually engaged in LGBT activism. So it's a big onion with many layers. Jordan Peterson on a gram of testosterone. Oh my God, this guy. This is one of the funniest thing and most scary thing I've seen.
Cancel culture. That might as well read fairy dust to me. Who here thinks they can cancel me right now? You there. Try to cancel me. No, come on. Try to cancel me. I can take it. You think I'm what? Sometimes?
No, nothing.
No. You said something. You said you think I'm what?
I like your perspective.
What do you think I am? What do you think I am? These guys can't cancel me. Neither can God.
Do not do this. This is a total violation of gun safety rules. These guys can cancel me. Neither can God. Oh my God. I don't know what kind of joke this is. I don't know if this was a fake, blank bullet or whatever. I don't know if it was for comedy purpose or if he's an actual motivational speaker, but holy shit. This is the guy who takes it way too far, He's actually playing Russian roulette to give people a roller coaster high. Well, pretty funny. Blanket says, thank you for showing that video, Jeff. That was pretty funny. Absolutely. I laughed my ass off when I've seen it. And I don't know. You know, you can see the ceiling powdering itself in reaction to the bullet. Is that an explosive that was set up in the ceiling to create a false impression of powder? Or is there an actual blank component that just created a powdery emission at the moment of shooting? I have no clue. Mark D's channel says he looks a little like Alex Stein. Yeah, I mean, the gingers are coming back in force. I was at a time where on the internet it was really rough for the gingers, but they are coming back strong, and they haven't shown us everything they got yet. Ryan Dawson is going down, down, down. The gingers are going up, up, up. Kevin caved. McCarthy savaged over debt ceiling deal. My problem here is he's getting savaged by, of course, the militant wing of the slightly more right-wing Republicans. But will he be savaged by all Republicans? Will all Republicans not want to vote on this deal? I don't think they need much Republicans for this deal to pass. Caved. McCarthy has gone out of his way to praise the Office of Management, the White House. I can't say enough about the staff from the White House director. Someone should come up with a saying for that. Speaker McCarthy defends offering a higher debt ceiling in exchange for increased government spending. We let the government grow, but at a slower rate. That is basically the meme when people laugh about the right wing in the US. It's like, this bad boy will increase government spending. Sexualize your children. There was a meme like this today on social media. I think I think it's a relatively old meme, but it came back. It's the car salesman, you know? This bad boy can sexualize your children, attack you for being white. And this bad boy here, the same, but slower. Kevin McCarthy is saying, we let the government grow, but at a slower rate. Are you fucking kidding me? So the deal itself. The deal raises the debt ceiling by roughly $4 trillion for 2 years and is consistent with the structure of budget deals struck in 2015, 2018, and 2019, which simultaneously raised the debt limit. It includes a rollback of non-defense discretionary spending to 2022. The problem is that 2022, we were already in abusive spending. We were in the post-COVID kind of wave of massive government spending increases. So it's not a rollback of any kind. It's a rollback to a peak. When you roll back to a peak, you don't roll back. You just come back to crazy amounts of spending for the government. And the key here is in the term non-defense discretionary spending. So that means the defense discretionary spending, the defense spending, is going up and up and up. There's no limit to it. After 2025, there are no budget caps, only non-enforceable appropriations target. So targets that Kevin McCarthy will have nothing to say with once they are passed. Defense spending would be in line with what Biden requested in his 2024 budget proposal, roughly $900 billion. So he came to reach what Biden was demanding. Even the Democrats in the Congress may not be as radical as Biden. Biden's proposal was a gigantic proposal of big budget that will all trickle down into leftist causes. John Drake says, I see BTC has got a bump. Turn up the printing press. Yeah, I mean, if you've bought your Pepe, your Bitcoin, and your ETH, and your BNB, like me, you're all set. So just pull the popcorn, let it happen, but it's nonsense. The deal fully funds medical care for veterans, including the Toxic Exposure Fund. Also, I guess that's for the burn pits. We have to deal with the burn pits. There are soldiers at burn pits. Like my son, burn pits was smoking and cancer and. Through the bipartisan PACT Act, the agreement increases the age for which food stamp recipients must seek work to be eligible from 49 to 54. So that's the only thing that would qualify as some sort of increase of severity of the social welfare system. So now basically you don't, up to 54-year-old, you are on social welfare, but you're not considered legitimately old to be on social welfare, so you have to work. But this is in line with what all of Western civilization is doing. France is doing this. They had all sorts of protests for this. It's just that we can't afford to give people a retirement as early as we used to do. And whether you want to do it through retirement systems like in France or whether you do it through social welfare like in America, the system is cracking. The system cannot sustain itself. And so, but 49 to 54, but also includes reforms to expand who is eligible. And all you're going to have to do between 49 and 54 is try to find a job. If you don't find a job, you're going to get the social welfare still. So we're not talking about a cut in spending here. Shrig Mamel says, JF, when do you think the spending ends? I personally think it will end when Western civilization / industrial society collapse. Yeah, exactly. That's what I think. I think that this system has no break to it. It has no break other than the point at which the money they give you is worth nothing. The point at which basically the productive component of the American economy has been siphoned away in the hands of the state. Now, it's not so long. I think it could happen. If you're a doomsayer, you might think it's going to happen within a few decades. If you're like Philip Fabry has made a case in History of the Next Century. He makes a case that there will be a new wave of economic productivity coming to the US, of legitimate economic productivity, which will result from robotization. And in a way, you know, this has already started with Amazon. So Amazon is a highly roboticized equivalent of grocery stores when you think about it. So he thinks that we're going to be able to surf on that increase of productivity for still another cycle of 50 years. So he sees the decline-ish moment of the American empire more like in 100 years from now rather than in 30 years from now. The whole question is, can this robotization be such a gain of efficiency that it overcomes the parasitism of socialism rising in conjunction? Silver Spider says, so many disappointing black pills lately. First Babylon Bee, then DeSantis, now this. What's next? JF comes out of the gay Jewish leftist closet. little chances, small chances. Blanket says, Jeff, do you think any conservative will win in Canada? No, I don't think it's happening. I think on that, I am still very blackpilled. I do not think that there is a solution out of the current system through voting and democracy. I think that the current system must crash itself before anything becomes possible. Because these artificial systems are more stable than you would want. You know, they can hold themselves. The fictive money can be surfed on by the government for decades and decades still. people are talking about fires in Canada, Nova Scotia. I didn't see any news concerning this. You're going to have to send me links if you want me to comment on this. Cuts IRS funding without nixing the full $80 billion approved last year. See, you would have had leverage here. You could have eradicated the new IRS agents, which are meant to be basically a Gestapo of the American federal government against right-wingers. Of course, it's going to be the small companies, the people who are working locally in raising some form of capitalism, some form of little business, some form of farming, some form of something that makes expenses, reduce their taxes, and whatever it was, 80,000, I think, or 70,000 new IRS agents are going to be spending their days crapping onto their lives, making their lives hard, going after them, questioning their expense reports. And it's basically going to be a force of harassment for your own voter base. The minimum you could have done here is make them all fired, make this whole thing of $80 billion funding of the IRS go away, but he didn't. According to the GOP, the deal will nix the total fall year 2023 staffing funding request for new IRS agents. Yeah, but you're still going to be injecting that money in. So that money will trickle down to some form of harassment to companies and self-employed people. The deal includes energy permitting reform demanded by Republicans and Senator Joe Manchin. okay, I don't know what it will result in. No new taxes, according to McCarthy. That doesn't sound like a deal where there's anything won on the side of the Republicans. You're just freezing certain progressions of the left and letting others continue. So you're letting the government get bigger. You're letting the IRS get bigger. You're letting the budget flow into it. And you are winning nothing for it. It's not like we've made an advance on anything other than, oh, we're just going to keep injecting money. Well, that's a victory for the corrupt politicians of the Republicans, but it's not a victory for the people. Silver Spider says the whole purpose of the IRS is to harass and drain conservatives. They don't need to collect taxes when they just print the money. Exactly. You know, someone who will never get an IRS review is your local leftist drug dealer who's receiving checks from various sources of the government that are trying to keep him alive. He doesn't have to tell them that he's a drug dealer. So he has a whole parallel economy of cash-based income. And then on top of it, the states help him. And if he gets caught and goes to jail, the states helps him even more by feeding him in the jail and by paying guards. And he ends up being even more of a cost than when he was on the streets. Now, it's not the kind of guy who gets a review from the IRS. It's the legitimate businesses who are targeted by the IRS. Those who, out of good faith, they do make some report about their business activity. DeSantis says he would sign legislation to defund the corrupt IRS. That's good, but given what we've seen from DeSantis yesterday, I totally gave up on supporting DeSantis. So it's an interesting policy, but I cannot vote for someone who seems to be giving signs that he's so much siding with the deep state and the Ukrainian and Israeli interest. If Congress defunded the IRS and sent such a bill like that to your desk, number one, would you sign it? And then what would you replace the system with? Are you for like a fair tax, a flat tax? Where do you stand on that? So the answer is yes. I think the IRS is a corrupt organization, and I think it's not a friend to the average citizen or taxpayer. And so we need something totally different. I've supported all of the single rate proposals. I think they would be a huge improvement over the current system. And I would be welcoming to take this tax system, chunk it out the window, and do something that's more favorable to the average folks. It's too loose. This can very much turn against people if that happens. Because it's very easy for a politician to commit to a route of change. But I don't expect a change that will be ultimately a reduction of governmental power under DeSantis. Shrigmamel says, I'm under the belief that the West will mismanage our fossil fuels to the point of collapse. At this point, I believe this will be the most beneficial for right-wing people. Good thing my father is buying a farm to pass on to my brother and I. Well, that is great. That is great when your father can do this. And with some amount of luck on the Bitcoin markets, I will hope that I can do this for my children too, to be putting them, giving them something very important, land ownership, house ownership from the beginning of their life. That will set you straight on what you have to do. It will all remove all of the inefficiencies of looking for a career and having to live in apartments and getting your money drained by the rent for all of your young adult life. That's not a way to live. If you can pay for a house for your children, that is a fantastic advance you give them in life. Shrigmamel says, by mismanage, I mean by government officials. Yeah, I don't know if it will be the fossil fuels that are the ultimate culprit of civilization. I have no idea. Look, Tesla Model Y passes Toyota Corolla to become best-selling car in the world in 2023. while Elon Musk continues to be a lightning rod for political controversy and discussion, Tesla is, at least for the time being, still executing in the background. Just last week, the company's Model Y vehicle passed the Toyota Corolla as the best-selling car in the world. Citing data from Jato Dynamics, the blog says that in Q1, the Model Y sold 267,000 vehicles, whereas Toyota Corollas had 256,000 sales. I didn't know this at all. I didn't know at all that they were selling that much. It always stuns me that Tesla is selling cars, because electric cars are freaking expensive. The Model Y's passing the Corolla is especially notable due to the difference in price, noting that the 2023 Model Y starts at $47,000, whereas the Toyota starts at $21,000. I don't understand where people get that money. It must be from those artificial injections of money in by the state and by the Fed. I don't get why people pay for a car that's twice as costly. And on top of it, it's going to make them dependent on electricity. I just don't get it. But okay, people just have a lot of money. And I see it. I see it when I see people in their pickup trucks and I'm like, are you insane? You drive a pickup truck? It's $20 to get from here to here. You're going to pay $20 to get from here to here. I pay $2 for this. But I'm a man who lives at the bottom of society. I'm a man who minimizes expenses. I hate running expenses. I hate insurance expenses. I hate fuel expenses. I want to reduce all of this. DK Shadow says, you're either dependent on gas or electricity. My problem is I don't know what's the future of electricity. I don't know if they will make a play on electricity to raise the rate in crazy ways. Because, I mean, they could do this with gas too, I will grant. But gas has been relatively stable across the decades in a way that it hasn't become prohibitively high. It has become very high in the last few years, but it's still not prohibitively high. Stephen Robinson says, this is why I charge $200 to clean a chimney. Also, you have to drive with your pickup truck to... you have to drive with a big truck to carry your material? Or do you mean you charge $200 because you know people can pay $200? I mean, it's the secret of business, basically, to be asking more, to be not selling yourself short. That is the secret of a successful business indeed. Dramatic footage shows shootout between bus driver and passenger. Look at this. You're in North Carolina. You're operating this bus at super high fuel price. You're carrying two or three poor people in the bus, and one of them has a gun. How is this economically viable? Like, they may have paid $2 for their route. The guy is making more of a salary. The white man driving the bus is making more of a salary than all of the money that was collected in his run. And we're not even talking about the price of the bus and the price of the fuel. And on top of it, you have to deal with the violence of your local communities. And here, my God, I didn't know that bus drivers had a gun ready to shoot people. This guy, thankfully, had the material to defend himself. I'm going to try to put some sound here.
This is the shootout on board a CATS bus last week that landed...
This is spectacular. I mean, the guy is driving and just casually shooting 7-8 bullets in the guy's body.
This is the shootout on board a CATS bus last week that landed both the bus driver and a passenger with gunshot wounds and landed the passenger behind bars. Four different angles of newly released surveillance video shows how we got here. You can see two other innocent passengers on board when the man in the hood, who police say is 22-year-old Omari Sharif Tobias, walks up to the driver and asks to be let off the bus. The driver, David
Okay, I said the bus driver was white. Okay, maybe he's black, Tillman. I don't know. I was just seeing paler skin here, and I was thinking, okay, maybe he's white. We'll see.
Fullard tells him it's not a designated stop.
Yeah, you're right. He's black. We can see the dread style. I saw his facial skin for a moment.
And motions for him to get back. An argument starts, and at one point, Tobias can be heard threatening Fuller.
I dare you touch me. I dare you to touch me. I'm going to pop your ass.
The passenger steps back and then can be seen pulling out a handgun. Seconds later, he steps back up. The driver sees the gun, pulls out his own, and opens fire. The two innocent passengers can be seen ducking for cover near the back exit. Tobias, who police say was shot in the stomach, heads their way. Then the video shows the driver fire three more shots at Tobias, who can then be seen getting off the bus. The driver gets off too and fires a final shot.
I love the attitude.
America,
I love the attitude of this bus driver. I mean, you have to shoot a lot, because if they're on the ground but they're not totally neutralized, they can still shoot you. It's stunning to me that people like this don't end up dying. It seems that both sides haven't died from the interaction. Very surprising to me that more people don't end up dying when involved in shootings. It would be my conception that a single bullet at the wrong place is killing you instantly. But no, it seems that your body can take a couple of bullets and still survive. What's more tragic is capitalism. BLM faces bankruptcy as founder Colors is cut by Warner Bros. Some states belatedly investigated BLM as founders like Colors seemed to scatter to the winds. It's amazing how quick Black Lives Matter money has just dissolved itself and trickled down into pool parties, real estate for the founders and the people who were high ups. It's already all gone. And they are in bankruptcy now. I mean, do you remember the millions, the hundreds of millions of dollars that were sent toward the Black Lives Matter cause? It's already all gone. I would have thought that it would trickle down alongside, you know, big funding groups like George Soros. I would have thought it would trickle down for a decade. It didn't last 3 years. It's already all gone. I'm reminded of, you know, I've been caring for animals. And when you bring the box of food, it's like the animals flock to you and it's like everything is gone in a second. It is exactly what happened to the funds of Black Lives Matter. It is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. Bankrupt. Done. Salaries have been paid, and oh, now I have a house, and well, I deserve this house. I was working for Black Lives Matter. DK Shadow says these grifters are like zombies. Well, you know, eventually you're going to realize that not only does this trickle down faster than you thought, but it will also lose its value faster than you thought. That's the race we're constantly playing of, oh, well, maybe if we help this population, they will get better and stably develop, you know, intergenerational wealth. Not happening. They are not at the intergenerational level. They can't even keep wealth amassed anywhere for more than a few years. It all dissolves itself. It all goes into parties and crap. Spindly Opinion says Africa has received trillions and there's nothing to show for it. Exactly. That is what happens when you don't respect money. You give it away, and the people who get it for free, they don't deserve it. They haven't shown their ability to preserve the energy of money and preserve its continued effect into the world. The Midwit Menace, an article by Millennial Woes, excellent article. So the Midwit's great danger for civilization is that they are somewhat intelligent. They're intelligent enough, he says, to be convinced by complex bullshit, but not intelligent enough to realize that it's bullshit. And so it's the greatest danger, the midwit for civilization. And the midwit of 105 to 120 IQ is characterized by a lack of courage, lack of honesty, lack of humility, and he is a conformist. What makes the midwit such a menace is his utter inability to recognize himself as a midwit. This is because the traits that make him one are all traits that nobody wants to admit having. Nobody wants to be average, above average, but nothing special. Nobody wants to lack courage. Nobody wants to lack honesty. Nobody wants to lack humility. Nobody, especially if they are male, wants to be a conformist who doesn't know his own mind and is given to following the crowd like a sheep. Very important, these midwits. I rarely use the term midwits. I tend to use the term normies, but I'm sure that there's some overlap. When I talk of normies, I'm sure a lot of them I'm thinking of are midwits too. Sam Saria sends 20 LBC. Thank you so much. He says, from times past, the real teachers, wherever they went, were never listened to and were always driven out. That's how you know they were men of word. If everyone approves of you wherever you go, what use can you be? Cheers, JF. Yeah. Those are important thoughts. The teacher is a very special entity of civilization. And it's my impression that the teacher is often rejected, like you say. The teacher is rejected and he's, instead of being listened to, he is being combated by the new revolutionary generation. And that's where a generation converges to absolute loss and stupidity and, you know, they can't be helped. It's when they don't want to learn. And I think we're well into this. The good teachers have been kicked out. The good teachers have been hated. They have been told they were agents of white supremacy. And in a way, they were. They were trying to imbue the next generation with traditional concepts from white society. But it's a problem that the new generations have rejected it. The new generations are going to be left with no organizational skills, no capacity to be creative. They're going to be butts of a state-controlled system. Shrig Mamel sends $5. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, also, about going to Eastern Europe, I was looking at Moldova, the average income, $450 a month. Perhaps I could find a woman desperate enough to leave such poverty. Yeah, you know, it's possible. It's possible, so that's why I wouldn't tell you don't do it, but it's going to be an investment of money. And you know, Moldova, I've actually considered buying property there and living there when it was the time to determine where I would live with Mama JF. Moldova, I looked at it because the houses, like, it's ridiculous. You can buy real estate there for $2,000. There's a website on the internet where you can look at all the Moldova property, and wow, you can live in Moldova for $2,000. You have your house. But then I don't know about these areas, man. It seems that there's lots of corruption. It seems that, I mean, you could die if you go there. There must be local groups of criminals. I don't know what's going to happen to you. So consider those risks. You're going to be in a place where the legality that you've been habituated to in Western civilization does not stand anymore. And Moldova is very close to Ukraine. So I don't know what will have been the social effect of the Ukraine war. Spindly Opinion says, Estonia is an intelligent country that's still cheap. Slovenia, rovering warlords at those real estate prices. Yeah, exactly. So if you can buy a house for $2,000, the problem is someone wants to sell it for $2,000. So what kind of horror are they living in? Shrigmamel says, I was actually debating on becoming an expat in the next 5 years in Moldova because of how cheap it is. Yeah, but I've decided against it. I've considered it too. I mean, I could have bought 10 houses there. But, I mean, I couldn't do it. I've looked at the look at the newspaper, look at the stories, look at the sex trafficking, look at the kidnappings. Look at the dark market for water. I mean, if you can't get water, if they hold you by the water, you're done, my friend. So it's very appealing to Google cute woman Moldova, and you're going to be like, holy shit. But no, it's not as easy as this. These countries converge toward absolute corruption for a reason. And they are extremely poor for a reason. And nobody wants to buy these $2,000 houses for a reason. And you just have to find it. Now, if you're an adventurous guy and you're like, I'm gonna just try my luck at this specialized extreme strategy of putting myself at risk for grabbing a woman. Now, consider, when you try grabbing a woman there, don't you think there's going to be a bunch of warlords around this woman, her family, controlling what she's done? If they live in such poverty, they must have a great amount of time on their hand to make sure that they will blow your... They will put a cap up your ass, as they say in Chicago. So, I mean, be careful. I don't know. You're going to end up with a lot of prostitution network for tourism. You're going to be fit in a system that's already meant to trickle down the rich Westerner. I don't even know if you're going to be able to make it out of the country without severe extortion happening to you. You know, what if they hold a gun to your head and they ask you to make an expense of $5,000. They want to sell you a carpet or something, or yeah, torture you for your Bitcoin. I mean, you have to include all of this in your considerations. And the thing is, everywhere on this earth, reproducible pussy isn't free. It's either controlled by men or it's controlled by women. And I don't know which hell you want to impose yourself. I don't know what's worse. The fact that you're going to have to deal with her handlers in the prostitute networks of Moldova, or the fact that you're going to have to deal with the contradictions in her own brain, in her own feminist brain in America. I don't know what's the greatest hell. But I know I don't want to have pliers and a blowtorch. pointed to me, and someone extirping my nails until I give up my pursuit of a girl. And I'm afraid that this could happen to you in Moldova. Not to scare you, man. It's like, I admire the man who tries to take a risk. I've taken so many risks in my life. Some of them paid out, some of them didn't pay out. But those that paid out, they paid out well. They paid out fucking well. So it's like, you take the risks you want. But there's a reason Moldova houses are $2,000, and I don't want to know it. I don't want to find out for myself. Someone says, Shrigmamail hoof. But I don't see what Shrigmamail has typed. Can you retype your chat, Shrigmamail? Because it's blackened out for me. I don't know. You may have been censored. Mark D's channel sends a super chat. He says, Salut, JF. Thanks for the show. Follow up about BTC ordinals. Do you know if the cost for them fluctuates with BTC price? If so, your letter could eventually look lavish. That would cost a fortune to publish given a high future BTC value. Absolutely. And it does fluctuate with... The cost of inscribing is in BTC. And it is based on the current fee of the BTC blockchain for a transaction. Now, it's a special transaction in which you have higher number of bytes. So, yes, I spent X BTC to make it happen. It was the equivalent of $50 worth of BTC when I did it. But yes, this amount of BTC will not be $50 down the line. So, yes, there is something like what you describe. Ultimately, the price of an inscription, the price of any Bitcoin transaction is determined by the size in bytes of your transaction. Now, the size in bytes tends to be a very low size when it's just a money transfer, which is why Bitcoin transaction can range from $1, $2, $3, but these days, with the craze of inscriptions, apparently it has gotten as high as $5 or $8 for a few days recently. But that's because all the bytes you have is this wallet, that many Bitcoin. That's very few bytes. Now, if you write a long letter like I did, you end up in the $50 range right now. It will. That's an hypothesis I had that day when I mentioned it on the show that day. I said perhaps people of the future will be like, oh my God, JF wasted $1 billion worth of BTC on this letter. It must be worth something. So Shrigmamail has retyped this chat. Now I see it. He says, she didn't like how serious I am about having a family. She told me that she's not interested in having a child until 30. Is what I said previously, JF, I was responding to Firestarter. Okay, so that's the reason why you lost your girlfriend. Well, then good. Good for you. Because there, she told you, you would have lost the next 10 years of your life waiting for her to want children. So that's it. Mark D's channel says, JF, did you check the byte size of TRP? Well, TRP itself, it depends. It depends. If you want to put it in PDF, it's perhaps too much for BTC. Perhaps it would cost in the range. Even if you compress the PDF, if you want the cover on there, it's probably going to be in the range of many thousands of dollars. If you were to take TRP and just take the text and put it in a notepad, I wouldn't be surprised you would have to pay something like $300, $400. Based on the length of my letter is probably, it cost me $50. My letter is probably 10 times shorter than TRP, at least, perhaps more. So I guess putting TRP on the blockchain would cost between $400 and $800. But I have no desire to do this. I don't want TRP to be free. I want to continue deriving an income from it. All right, what else do we have in the news? Target stores hit with bomb threats after turning its back on the LGBTQ plus community. Target is full of... So that's a letter sent by some leftist activist wanting to threaten Target with bombs. Threaten it with bombs because they have withdrawn their LGBT displays. Target is full of redacted cowards who turned their back on the LGBT community and decided to cater to homophobic right-wing redneck bigots who protested and vandalized their store. Reads a threatening email sent to several Target locations in Ohio and one in Pennsylvania. Okay, so we have leftist terrorists, no surprise at all. The latest in Clown World news. I had seen this news item pass by my feed. I hadn't brought it up on the show. Lululemon employee fired for calling 911 on looters robbing the store. The brazenness of these criminals is matched in intensity by the stupidity and fear of management. So now in leftist corporation, you can't even call the police when they are looting your store. So what's the point of having these stores? If everyone can pick whatever they want, if you fire your employees for calling the police when that happens, it's not a store. You have a distribution ground for, you have a welfare-free store. It's one of these places where people go and they can take everything for free. That's not a store. Why are they even operating these things? That's an interesting post from Brett Weinstein because it illustrates something I've been predicting and talking about. I have said for a while now that the trans peak trans has been attained. We have reached peak trans, and eventually the craziness of the trans activism will be subsiding, will be slowing down progressively, and will recede from its very activist current state. And that's because the left doesn't have that much of a an interest at continuing to alienate parts of the electorate for what is a very extremely small minority. Basically, the trends are now creating more problems for the left than they are solving. And Brett Weinstein is one of those who is starting to be alarmed that his side of politics may lose because of trans people. He says, "Dear trans folks, there are many people pretending to be trans because they get off on it and or because it gives them power. They are compromising the hard-won rights of women, children, gay men, and lesbians. They're doing it in your name, and in so doing, jeopardizing the West." That is interesting. So there's now the fake trans, and there's the real trans. Now, this is to add to the layer of complexity, where to begin with, some people are considering that there are real men and fake men. So we tend to think that the trans lifestyle is a display of the other sex, basically, which is a construct of it. Let's not call it fake, because I don't want to offend people. And I'm in Canada. Let's not call it fake. Let's call it a construct. the sexual identity of trans is constructed. And we are now invited to consider there's a second layer of construct. Not only is there the construct of some trans are constructing the other sex looks and the other sex appearance and the other sex behavior, there are now fake trans. There are people who are constructing within the construct. These are fake trans who are doing it for the attention. But what I would ask to Brett Weinstein is, do we have any evidence that it's not all for attention? There is so much search for approval, societal attention, claims of rights, claims of civil rights advancement, claims that misgendering is a form of violence. Basically, there is so much look into the eye of the other and into the approval of the other in the trans activity. And there is so much display in it that is it possible that the sub-ensemble that Brett Weinstein has drawn a circle around is the whole? Is it possible that the entire disorder is a disorder with a narcissistic component to it, systematic one? Rodi Lacid says, not fake trans, they are trans. That is an underrated, you know, people are going to have to think about it a lot, but that is brilliant. They're not fake trans, Brett. They are trans. I said the transparity spiral has begun in an attempt to find the trans who aren't pretending. Told you guys we had reached peak trans a while ago. And by the way, it would be a good thing for Brett Weinstein at this point to read The Revolutionary Phenotype. I'm ashamed that I have to bring it up again, but depriving yourself, Brett, of this critical knowledge of biology and going toward death without having had your brain exposed to this exquisite idea of a revolutionary phenotype would be the saddest thing I can think of. That a man like you, who has said before that we had to design systems that look for knowledge, that care for knowledge, independently from whether that knowledge comes from different minds, minds we disagree with, minds that sometimes may appear abject to our political or moral preferences. Please, Brett, do yourself this luxury. Enjoy the idea of a revolutionary phenotype in your head before you die. That would be the saddest thing, to see you go away from this earth while thinking that mimetics hasn't been resolved, that the selfish gene hasn't been capped, that this beautiful addition to evolutionary theory hasn't been made. Under pressure from fat activists, NYC bans weight discrimination. Discriminating against fat people is now illegal in New York City. So they're not only for employment, but also housing and access to public accommodations, a term that encompasses most businesses. We're in safe company using the word fat as champions of the cause refer to themselves as fat activists. With the mayor's signature, two more categories, both weight and height, are added to New York City's list of protected personal attributes, which already include race, gender, age, religion, and sexual orientation. Okay, I don't object that strongly, but I think if you're going to be protecting everything and everyone, why don't you protect right-wingers and white people? This is the first category I think should be the next concern, because they are being extremely oppressed in leftist places. And I don't know. I don't know that fat people have been discriminated against so much in New York. I certainly know that white people have been. Yesterday, I summed up my thinking of that I had already somewhat expressed in the show. I dissociate from Ron DeSantis. Tonight, I realized it was an error for me to be supporting DeSantis. You have to read between the lines, because he won't say it explicitly, but a vote for DeSantis is a vote for the Ukrainian-US war machine. My original thinking for supporting him was that Trump had largely failed at being a social conservative, other than on the immigration issue and on the Supreme Court justices. He had also failed at protecting American interests independent of Israeli interests. With DeSantis, we may not have gotten independence from Israel, but at least we would have had some form of social conservatism. But paying attention to who DeSantis has sided with, who he has surrounded himself with, I now see that he is preparing for a full-blown bait and switch. He is surrounding himself with people who are way too close to Ukrainian interest for my comfort. He's also spoken about supporting our troops without any reference to being anti-war, or like Trump wanting to end endless wars. I know how this ends. We would have an American president who names pro-Ukrainian and Israeli interest in his staff, who pursues pro-Ukrainian and Israeli policies, and that means a continuation of the U.S. war machine. That doesn't mean I'm fully satisfied with Trump on these issues. Trump has made similar errors, but at least Trump has gone through it once, and there's a chance he won't fall for it again. Given that DeSantis is surrounding himself with people like Christina Pusha, I see zero chance of him not falling for it. So all in all, Trump would be the best choice for the Republican nomination, not to mention that the current surveys indicate very little chances for Ron anyways. This is the summary of my thinking on Ron DeSantis. Elon Musk was responding to a critique of him that was pointing that he had originally said that he was a free speech absolutist. But under Elon Musk, Twitter has approved 83% of censorship requests. The social network has restricted and withdrawn content critical of the ruling parties in Turkey and India, among other countries, including during electoral campaigns. He answers, "You're such a numbskull. Please point out where we had an actual choice and we will reverse it." Well, I did suggest a choice to Elon Musk. The choice, Elon Musk, I presented it months ago. Either Twitter goes decentralized or Twitter is owned by Europe. What if each tweet was hosted on someone's hard drive? We can do it, Elon. It's as simple as this. Either Twitter will have free speech, or it will be controlled by any country that doesn't have a First Amendment. And that's all the countries of the earth except the US. So if there was a copy of every tweet on 10,000 different hard drives spread across the planet, in 150 different countries. And if each of these tweets were recorded in a blockchain hash mechanism that stacks and stacks and stacks the copies of the tweet in a way that each node in the system can verify that the tweet has happened, can get the copy of the tweet, and can get it from any of the 10,000 different computers that serve it. if that was the case, it would be very hard for any country to start saying, oh, well, we're going to censor this IP and this IP and all these 10,000 IPs. And they would end up having to censor everything. So encoded storage, distributed storage, decentralized storage, blockchain stacking, hash encoding, magic, decentralization, and ultimately your Twitter feed comes from the entire universe, from the entire planet. That would be beautiful, Elon, but it's been developed before. It's just not been super beautiful. It's not been performant the way Twitter is. But then develop a system of cache servers that can serve this whole collective very quick, because 99% of the situation, you don't need this. So the decentralized service would only be there when the tweet requires it. Most of the time, you would have your edge servers serving caged versions of the tweets, and it would be business as usual. But when things go wrong, you make a place in Twitter for a decentralized solution, which helps counter the strategy of governments that try to force the hand of Twitter. And then, you know, every statement on Twitter becomes like an HTML file that people are self-hosting on their routers across the planet. That would be beautiful. DK Shadow says, I will ape in on Elon coin. Yeah, not to count the massive amount of money that Elon would be doing with this. Do you know how many scams out there are running and are presenting themselves as Elon coins? Imagine if there was a real Elon coin. Imagine the demand for it. I mean, seriously, Elon, it might be your most paying opportunity in life. I don't want to scam you here. I don't even want to benefit from any of this. But I want to explain to you, Elon, this probably has more money opportunity and more profit opportunities than anything you've engaged in before. Tesla won't compare. PayPal won't compare. If you had your own coin powering a true free service of political expression on the web, that would be fantastic. This link that was shared by Crazy Catman, I commented on it yesterday, Crazy Catman. Bill to legalize psychedelic mushrooms. Stephen Robinson says, JF, check our Elon's tweets from 3 minutes ago. Well, who's Elon's tweet? Do you mean Elon Musk's replies? I see seeing shit clearly now. Seeing shit clearly now. I don't know that you want this. Do we really need this? I think we need more a blockchain solution for decentralized Twitter speech on the internet. And the comparable things that have been built, PocketNet was way too slow. That's why we have to develop a network of edge servers that don't need to go through the blockchain every time to load. It needs to be basically undifferentiated from your current Twitter as far as performance goes. What do you say? Elon's latest tweet. Elon Musk's latest. No. Well, latest tweets is this. Transparency builds trust. So I don't know what you're talking about, Stephen. Why don't you put the link in the chat? We're on Odyssey. You can share links. psychedelic mushrooms in California Senate, a bill to decriminalize hallucinogenic mushrooms cleared the California Senate. So here, philosophically, I don't take issue with liberty. So if someone wants to consume these things, I'm fine with it philosophically, but you have a whole host of problems that come with this. You have the problem of spiked up drugs. It ends up killing people because they put fentanyl with the mushroom. You have the problem of access being given, for example, to your children. Now your children have access to these drugs. You don't consent that they get it, but they still can get it because it's legal. You have the problem of your loved one, your husband, your wife goes onto these trips and you have no control over it. It destroys society. So although I'm a priori not against someone who would consume these things without hurting anyone else, it turns out that it ends up hurting a whole lot of people. And mushrooms are not the biggest problem because they are a weirdo drug and they don't create much addiction. And in fact, when people get it for once, they're good for many months. So it's not the biggest problem. But this path of legalizing everything is accumulating kind of a social debt. It's that we are accumulating destructive things in society. And it can't keep going on forever. Last news item before I close the show. Vegas group accused of cheating casino out of more than $225,000 playing electronic craps. So it's this game where you throw the dice, but they had a technique of sliding. So someone was betting on the right number and he was signaling with the system to the dice thrower. He was signaling, I want to get a 5, I want to get a 4, whatever. And the dice thrower had a technique that you would throw the dice in a way that one dice just slides and is much more likely to end up on the face that it started sliding on. So it never really rose. I would have thought that, you know, it was the job of the croupier to see this and stop it. But apparently the casino got scammed of $225,000 before they noticed it. It's not a loaded dice. It's not a loaded dice. It's a loaded throw. It's the way he was throwing it. It leads to the dice sliding instead of rolling. Firestarter says, but isn't it electronic? Well, that's what they're saying, is that with the trend of electronics, apparently there may not be a croupier all the time, you know, or a croupier may supervise multiple tables at the same time. So you get your shot perhaps at fooling the electronic system. Silver Spider says, a lot of casinos have a rule that the dice has to roll. Yeah, this should be the case, but I guess if there's no one checking, or if you can exploit the fact that there has to be a checker on multiple tables, perhaps it's feasible to fool them on a couple of throws. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow.